when other people, when they were teenagers, were asked, what do you want to be when you grow up? Well, there was the typical answers, the policeman, the fireman, the school teacher, whatever. I was this smarmy kid that I would say a millionaire. And that was my answer, as I didn't know how I was going to do it, but I just wanted to become wealthy.
If you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you smash that like button and click subscribe. For those of you listening on a podcast platform, be sure to subscribe on whatever platform that is and leave us a rating if you can. The more likes, ratings, and subscriptions that we get, the more we can spread the message and grow our community. So we also have a free Facebook group. It's called The Average Joe Finances Network. Check us out, join the group, join the community, ask questions, and become a part of the team. All of our other social media accounts are listed in our flow page, and we have them in the video or podcast description below.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? Welcome back to the Average Joe Finances Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Cavagione, and today's guest is Michael Dominguez. Super stoked to have you on the show. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks a lot for having me, Mike. I'm really looking forward to having this chat.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, the first thing I want to ask, because you've done some really amazing things and are really accomplished, but can you tell me and my audience a little bit more about yourself? Share your story. Like, how did this get started for you? Like, we want to know it all.
Yeah, I'll give you sort of the short version, I think. But I graduated a business degree back in the day and did what everyone else does. And that is getting that 9-to-5 job and working in middle management, getting promoted a couple of times, meeting a girl, getting married, having a kid. And then I woke up pretty much in my late 30s or almost age 40, now divorced and had zero net worth to speak of. I did have a principal residence, but not a lot of equity. And when I was back in high school and university, I was very entrepreneurial minded, but I lost that over my lifetime. And I was looking for an alternative way to get rolling. And it was honestly, it was more a fluke scenario. I was looking to purchase a new principal residence. I met a realtor who was also a manager of a brokerage. And she said, hey, you'd be a good realtor. And I said, oh, yeah, I'm sure you say that to all the boys. But she was serious. And I looked into it. It made a hell of a lot of sense. And then fast forward a year or two, I had my license. I was getting rolling. Back in my old days, I was a franchise manager for a pet food franchise here in Canada and even part of the United States. And I found that I started to gravitate to my people working with those investor-minded, wealth-building type of people. And that worked out to being with investors. And that's how it went. And I started to grow from there. These guys were having some incredible success. And I said, you know what? I should be doing some of that myself. And that's how it all got.
That is super cool. So I was sitting here taking notes as you were going and just diving a little bit deeper into your background, right? So you graduated from school and you went and started off life in that typical 9-to-5 job, living the typical life and typical dream, married, kid, divorced. And then you got into real estate in your late 30s, right?
Early 40s.
Yeah. So that's actually when you got your real estate license and really started taking off. Looking where you're at now, a couple of years later, just absolutely amazing progress. And it goes to show that if somebody's serious about and you really put in that 110% effort, right, you go above and beyond, you can get yourself to a point of being financially free in just a few years. You're living proof of that. That's absolutely amazing. But I want to ask you something. You had mentioned something about being a pet food franchise owner. What was that?
Yeah, there's a series of pet stores here, actually both in Canada and the United States. They're approximately 2,000 square foot stores. And they compete against the Pet Smarts and Pet Co's of the world. And but these are the independent pet stores. And so it's individual franchisee. I believed in the product enough that not only was I the salesperson for the franchise, but also my parents bought a store, my brother bought a store, myself and my first wife bought a store. Because again, I wanted to try to find a way to get ahead. I wasn't the type of person who was going to create an app or I wasn't going to make scrunchies or become an Uber driver. And this made a lot of sense for me. And it wasn't until I was introduced to real estate that I realized that it was just simply a better opportunity than franchising was. And that's how it got going. Is honestly, I wanted to try to find a way to get ahead, but running a business was a lot of work. And it just didn't, I had my 9-to-5 job and I didn't have the time and, and energy to basically have two full-time jobs. That's what it became.
Yeah, so rewinding back to you said back in high school and university days that you had like this entrepreneurial spirit, like you had that bug that was biting. Do you think that when you started like down this pet food franchise route, that was like the bug coming back and it was just like in the back of your head and you were just, hey, I want to run my own business and be a business owner. Do you think that's what like really, I guess, flipped the switch?
100%. Yeah, it was, if you want to go right back, I mentioned this in my book as well. When other people, when they were teenagers, were asked, what do you want to be when you grow up? Well, there was the typical answers, the policeman, the fireman, the school teacher, whatever. I was this smarmy kid that I would say a millionaire. And that was my answer. As I didn't know how I was going to do it, but I just wanted to become wealthy. And I didn't know necessarily what that meant, but I just wanted to have success. And especially when I was a kid, that's how I scored, was based on wealth. And yeah, I honestly had this vision of being a emperor and having an entire village of stores, but it just didn't come to pass. And it wasn't until I got into the real estate sector, which, yeah, I was 43 when I got my real estate license, 42, 43. And one of the quotes that I'm a huge advocate of is Bill Gates' quote, where people tend to overestimate how much you could accomplish in 1 year, but they underestimate how much you could accomplish in 10. And that was absolutely. In 10 years, I looked down and said, holy crap, what the hell happened here? I'm now doing pretty well.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And your whole focus shifted and just changed. Your whole mindset changed. Just talking about how you went from that being in that 9-to-5, we call it the rat race, being stuck in that world and just scraping by. And then after a divorce, realizing like you had nothing left after that. You had no net worth, you had no tangible assets to really call your own. Yeah, that's a good turning point, I think, for anybody. But to do it in your early 40s and in a 10-year period, just amass the accomplishments that you have is very telling for anybody that's looking to get started. Because I know people that are like, oh, I'm in my 30s. I feel like I should have started in my young 20s. Sure, if you would have started in your young 20s, you'd probably be really well off right now. But let me tell you something, starting in your 30s is okay too. I started in my 30s. And it's all about the effort you're going to put into it, how much, what your passion and drive and desire is. That's absolutely awesome. Yeah, I had to ask about the pet franchise thing, the pet food franchise, because you mentioned that, like, I'm sitting here taking notes, talking about how you got into real estate. And then you said pet food franchise, and it threw me off. I was like, wait a second, that's something different. So really cool, man. I love that stuff. Okay. Now, you got your real estate license around 42, 43, and just started this journey to building up this pathway to financial freedom, right? What made you decide as a realtor to start investing in real estate? So what, you were out there representing other people and helping them buy real estate, but what made you want to actually get into buying your own properties as assets yourself?
Yeah, it was twofold. The first thing I did, and I don't want to dismiss this, is I really started to take a lot of effort and attention to enhancing my financial education. And that was something that I don't want to dismiss as just, you know, just said, oh yeah, I did that, and throw away comment. But I made a concerted effort to really start to learn some of the masters out there. And I know you're an advocate of Robert Kiyosaki, but some of his mindset as far as rich dad, poor dad was a huge component of changing my life. There's a Canadian guy by the name of Don R. Campbell, and he has a lot of books on the subject. And it's investing in a much smarter way. And one of his quotes that he says all the time is that he wants real estate to fund my life, not run my life. And that's, it just became a different mindset shift in terms of building wealth. And then as a realtor, what got me started was, I'm going to be honest with you, a lot of it was, as much as it was, I felt it would make me a stronger realtor by understanding the product that much more, and it would give me more credibility. I enjoyed working with investors. I enjoyed looking at investment properties and trying to determine ways of building somebody's wealth, even when I didn't have a lot myself. So that became my focus very early on in my real estate career. But I felt to give myself the credibility I needed, buying an investment property or two would be a great way to start. And then as I started to purchase, I quickly started to do a bit of a shift. I went from doing what everyone always talks about, and that is buying that undervalued property at a secondary market that it really is, it needs a lot of work and spending a lot of money for capital improvements to get it to where I want it to be. And it shifted over time to the mindset that I use now. And I talked about it in my book, finding a quality property in a quality neighborhood, seeking quality tenants and holding on to them long-term and making quality profits. And that mindset shift is what I teach a lot of my clients.
Yeah, no, that's really awesome, because it's different than what a lot of people talk about when they talk about real estate. Like you said, it's all about trying to find that secondary, find the cheaper property that you can work on. And a lot of people say too, go find like the cheapest property or the most rundown property in the nicest neighborhood and build it up that way. So yeah, that's a great way to look at it. I want to talk about your actual, the properties that you invested in yourself. So when you started doing this, you have, what was it, 11 two-unit dwellings, right? Now, we call it two units. So we talked a little bit before we started before we hit record, and we talked about, I had mentioned that they were duplexes. I was like, oh yeah, so you got 11 duplexes. Like, oh no, they're not duplexes. And so I want to talk about that for a second. So why are these two unit dwellings not duplexes? And why did you do it this way?
Yeah. In different markets, they're called different things. In some parts of the United States, they're also referred to as additional dwelling units or ADUs. Two-unit dwelling happens to be the term here in Ontario. But essentially, these are single-family homes that have had secondary suites added onto them, whether it be as a basement or as a loft or as an additional unit that's either adjacent or at the back of a property, like a coach house or just simply an attached tiny home, what have you. But that's the difference, as they were built a single family home and then a secondary suite was added to it. And that's the kind of property that I've found to be the most successful. I've been able to find incredible tenants that have a future owner mindset versus the multi-unit building. I do also talk about it a lot, but I've owned a sixplex and a nineplex, and I still own the nineplex today. But I find that the tenant profile that I'm dealing with on properties like that, even no matter how much I fixed up the units, I tend to get those B and C quality tenants, because the A quality tenants just simply don't want to live in an apartment building. Whereas they'll happily live in my single family homes with their own backyard fenced in, they're living their life, they're living their best life. Yeah, they're sharing the part of the dwelling with another, but I'm able to get great tenants. And the reason why I attract them as much as I do is because in many cases, I can rent out the upper unit of a dwelling for about 20 to 25% lower than just a standard single family home. So I can attract some incredible tenants that are actually looking to one day move into homes and buy their places. And that's the kind of tenants that I want.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So your focus right now for your tenants is the quality of tenant that you have, based off of buying in some pretty, you know, nice neighborhoods and everything. And I could see the difference there, right? Like somebody with the quality of tenant versus living in an apartment versus being able to say that they are in a single family home with a yard, and it's a little more private, like a little more privacy. It's a little more just more of a community being in a neighborhood versus your neighbor being like the next door over. So yeah, I could see that for sure. Now, you wrote a book, right? It's called, and like I said, I love the name. It's clever. The Armchair Real Estate Millionaire. If you're sitting there anyway, you might as well build your wealth. What drove you to write this book? Can we talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. So I was very fortunate that early in my realtor career and real estate investing career, I was able to meet some just incredible people. And people that honestly, I had no business having conversations with, because they had tons of success and had already reached their level of financial freedom, and they were in their mindset of giving back. And so a few of them took me under their wing and guided me along the process. And I always hoped that if I reached that same level of success, that I would also pay it forward. I would be the person who was on that ladder of success and reach my hand down and pull somebody up a step or two, however I could. And what I found in a lot of the real estate books that I've read and we've all read is they talk about the big apartment buildings. And even on the podcast, you see these people interviewed all the time where they talk about now they have 5 gazillion properties. And yeah, this morning they bought 3 new properties. Some of these people buy more properties than I change my underwear. Like, it's amazing. And they're great stories. Most of us don't really identify with it very well. And so I wrote the book for the person to get their first, second, and third investment properties. And I have some success stories in the book, where I take people with as little as 2 investment properties and how that has changed their life. And it's given them a level of financial freedom and a level of wealth that they would never have had otherwise. By buying in a quality market and in great detail about what a quality market is, we look at such things as population growth and GDP growth. And we go into a little bit of economics, but we hopefully do it in a pretty fun way and really try to teach people there's two types of properties that none of us have an unlimited amount of money. Focus on the markets and focus on the properties and do the research and become an insider of that market, become an expert, and you can build some significant wealth. And if you get the right type of tenant profile, it's not absentee, it's not completely passive, it's still a part-time job, but that part-time job will make you a millionaire.
Absolutely. I just want to point something out for all my listeners here real quick, because Michael did not come on here to talk about his book. I wanted to talk about it because in our pre-interview conversation, one of the things that we talked about is just in the real estate community about helping other people and getting them to the level where they can have a little bit of financial freedom. As we're saying, that's the whole point of this podcast as well, is to help educate people and get them to that point. Michael wrote this book, and he even told me, you don't write books to make money off books. You don't make money off books. Totally understand that. He wrote the book to legitimately help people. And when you think about the context of the book and what it's doing, and he's talking with these folks that have 1, 2, 3, to help you build it, buy your first couple properties, and that can change your life. It really can, because it doesn't take much. You don't have to have 100+ doors to be at a point where you can be financially free. Other people have different priorities in their life and they're doing other things. Not everybody needs to invest the same way, but what Michael's showing you is that there is a way that you can do it with just a few. Even if it only helps you a little bit, it's still something that's going to help you out and build wealth towards your future. And that's what I really appreciate about it. And that's why I wanted to bring up the book, because it's just absolutely amazing. And Michael, you yourself are absolutely amazing. Like I said, in our pre-interview conversation, just the chat we were having, we talked for like 30 minutes before we even hit the record button. It was crazy. We were scheduled for 10 o'clock to come on and do this interview. And he's, hey, I can go early. I said, cool, let's go early. We got on half an hour early and we still didn't start until 10 o'clock because we were just chatting it up. Absolutely love when I have conversations like this, because it just adds so much more value to the listeners, to me, and just everyone that's a part of this journey. So I do want to say I genuinely appreciate that, Michael. Really awesome with what you're doing. So I'm going to get off my little soapbox here and get back to you and stop praising you, because we got to get back to the interview. But I just wanted to point that out, that this was not, he was coming on here to plug his book. It was legitimately, I wanted to ask about it because he is really helping people. And I just think that is just genuinely a really good thing and a really good quality in a person. Anyway, back to the, absolutely, you're welcome. Okay, now besides real estate, I wanted to ask you if there was any other asset classes that you invest in. So I know you got the 9-plex, you've got the 11 2-unit dwelling. Is there anything else? Do you invest in like any paper stocks, like in the stock market, crypto, or any of that crazy stuff?
Let's take a brief moment to hear from our show sponsors.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's Mike Cav from Average Joe Finances. Just want to talk to you today about Prep Agent. If you're interested in learning how to become a real estate agent and being able to pass the test on your first try, check out Prep Agent. Check out the link below in the show notes or in the video description.
What's going on, everybody? So today I want to talk to you about the podcast editing service that we use for the Average Joe Finances podcast. That is editpods.com. And what I really like about them is it's a subscription-based service, so the prices are fantastic. And not only do they do the podcast episodes for us, but they also make us videos, audiograms, social media caption videos. They do our show notes, thumbnails. It's just fantastic products. Go check them out at editpods.com.
Let's get back to today's episode.
Yeah, crypto. I don't know when this recording is going to come out, but anybody who's been investing in crypto in the later part of January has had a bit of a crying game right now, because there's been about a 30-40% decline in value in the last little bit. I do have a little bit of crypto, more in the equity market is what I've got, not a ton, but like, I don't know, $1.5, $2 million in that. But I'm also doing private mortgages. I've recently sold my realtor business, and so I'm getting residual money from that. And I'm actually, the beautiful thing of not being an active day-to-day realtor anymore is it's allowing me to continue to enhance my knowledge and education. One thing it just occurred to me at the end of last year was I analyzed how much money I spent in terms of coaching and education. And 2021, actually, I spent more on education than ever before. Yet I'd already reached a certain level of financial freedom. Yet now I've had a chance to spend even more. I've hired a business or a coach to help me with writing my book. I hired another coach that helped me with my equity trading, because I just want to be the best I can be in all elements and have multiple streams of income.
That is a key thing right there. And I think that's super important that you're pointing out right now, is that the fact that even now, even at a point where you are financially free and you're sitting here doing the stuff that you want to do,
yeah,
2021, you still spent more on education than anything else, because education, that's going to be the key that opens the door. Honestly, that's going to be the key that opens the door for you to take that next step and step into this new world. And I think, sure, there's a lot of free resources out there, but there's also some paid resources that are really good. And that's definitely something that people should consider, being part of a mastermind, hiring a coach, depending on what particular route you want to go. Things like that provide value. And it's just for those listening, you have to figure out what's going to be the best thing for you. And obviously, Michael's got it figured out what works for him, and he understands that. And paying for this education is actually helping him step his game up to that next level, to the point where he was able to write this book and everything. I just think that's super awesome and a very key thing to point out. Okay, so I have a set of four questions that I just started doing this, but these are like four kind of, not quick, but just four questions I want to start asking everybody that comes on the show. Okay. So if you're ready, we'll go ahead and get into it.
I'm ready. I'm a little nervous, but let's go.
Okay. All right. Nothing to be nervous about. This is all, like I said, I don't like to get crazy with my questions, but this is all like legit stuff that I feel will add value to everybody that's listening. First question is, Michael, what's the biggest mistake you've ever made?
Oh boy, now you're making me think on this one. Biggest mistake I ever made. I want to say, we've already touched on it, honestly. I had opportunities for wealth building in my 20s that I didn't take advantage of because I was afraid to take action. And even actually, coincidentally, a real estate opportunity that would have turned out to be a multi-million dollar deal, but there was an element of risk. I would have had too much leveraging for my taste at the time. I was very risk averse. And so the old, if I knew now what I knew then, the other way around, if I knew then what I knew now, that would have been a big mistake. But honestly, I look back on a lot of my early education and mistakes, and as honestly as like a giant university course that has led me to my adult level of knowledge today. And it's taught me to not sit around all the time. And so there's ready, fire, aim sort of thing instead of ready, aim, fire. Because if you don't ever take action, you're just not going to get ahead. So that would have been my mistake early on, but some of my early indecisions.
Yeah, it sounds like you got stuck in a little analysis paralysis there. So
100%. Okay.
It's funny though, the way that you put that if you would have known then what you know now, that kind of works out great, because that goes right into my next question. What is something that you've learned that you wish you knew when you first started?
Yeah. And this is something I wanted to share with some of your audience anyway. So this is a perfect lead-in for that. One of the things which I should have done is bought a property and put an ADU in my place where I lived at the same time. The term today is called house hacking. That's a modern take on it. But honestly, having shared housing in your property is something that's been around forever. It's just that it's just got a bit of a new flavor to it. And that's something that would have made a huge difference in my life early on. But I did what everyone else did. I bought my single family home and lived in it and enjoyed it. But had I bought that duplex or that additional dwelling unit, that would have basically covered a large portion of my mortgage and set me forward huge. That would have been the one thing I would have done differently. And that's what I recommend to anybody in their 20s and 30s today.
Absolutely. I will tell you that I wish that was something that I would have done as well, for sure. Okay, cool. Love it. All right. Next question. Do you have any tips or tricks that you would recommend to someone who's just getting started today?
It's not necessarily the most elaborate thing in the world, but one of the cool things about becoming a market expert is it's not for the elite few. Anybody has the opportunity to become an expert. And we talk about this in my book as far as finding the right type of market. I'm going to use Hawaii as an example. I love Hawaii. I've only been there once, but it was an incredible experience. And it's an area that I can see myself living part of my life the rest as I get older. That doesn't necessarily mean it's a great investment market. It might be, but it may not be. And so my advice to anyone who's getting serious about wealth building is try to become the smartest person in the room. And if not, at least be among the most intelligent people in the room. I use the reference, if I'm sitting down at a poker table and I look around the poker table and everyone has more experience than I do, I get off of that poker table. And so I'm not a big fan of just throwing my money into some venture and hoping for the best and hoping that they treat me well. I want to become an expert. And that includes finding the right type of market, the right type of property, and perhaps even the right type of tenant when it comes down to it. But the right type of property in the right type of market is so imperative.
Yeah, that is super important and a great point. Absolutely love that. Okay, next question. Do you have a favorite business, investing, or real estate related book or podcast or both?
Oh, my favorite, honestly, the book I recommend, we've already referred to it, is Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And I realize that a lot of people have already read it, but if you haven't, it's such an important book and it's just a different mindset, mindset shift. Robert Kiyosaki starts teaching you about things that you just never learned in school and what an asset is and starting to build cash flow on an ongoing basis. And the beautiful thing of cash flow is I get sick and I can't work or I lose my job. These properties or these assets continue to generate a little bit of income. And the thing I do a little differently than Robert does is I focus maybe on primary markets that tend to appreciate better. They maybe don't cash flow quite as well, but even during the pandemic, I never once had a missed rent payment, not once, and nor did really any of my clients. And so that would be an advocate for sure. Actually, I've listened to a few of your podcasts. I was pretty impressed with what you were teaching. Everyone's already listening to that one, so that's maybe not a great one to use. There's a Canadian one called Breakthrough Real Estate Podcast, and that's one that has been around for a number of years, and he's a friend of mine. And so I'm going to give him a shout out for that. It's a great podcast. If I was going to listen to something, that's a good one to listen to. And I mentioned already Don R. Campbell. He was my number one mentor. And he's written a number of books. Again, more on the Canadian market is where he got his start. But at the same time, a lot of his books are universal. So whether you're in the United States or India or China or wherever you're listening from, there are some tips and tricks that you can use and apply in your life.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And actually, speaking of Don R. Campbell, right? So I wrote down that quote that you said because I thought that was super awesome. So like rewinding back to that, you know, how he said to have real estate fund your life, not run your life. I just think that's absolutely amazing because a lot of people do get lost in that. They'll get lost in the whole becoming a landlord and then like their whole focus is tenants, toilets, and repairs. And that's a lot of that stuff can be mitigated. And it's all about what kind of systems and processes you put in place. So if you try to go into it by yourself without a team, you can find yourself in another full-time job instead of part-time thing. I think that's super important. And then talking about that as well, just the whole networking aspect, we touched on that a little bit too. Going to different conferences, seminars, real estate meetups, things like that is just super important to just building up that team and building your own wealth of knowledge and building your own network. Because the people that you're going to meet at these different meetups already know good contractors, or they are a contractor on the side, or already know good realtors, or there's realtors there at these meetups. So you can effectively go to a meetup and assemble your entire team. Like you can just create the Avengers right there and just be like, assemble. So yeah, I got to throw a little Marvel reference in there. Why not?
And I'll give you one more with that too. What I found with meetups is in my circle of friends, and we all have our circle of friends, you tend to gravitate to hang around with people that are similar net worth to you and similar mindsets to you. By going into a meetup, you start to experience an entirely different group of people. And one of the stories that I've shared a number of is I had one pretty successful year and I think I'd bought two or three properties in 1 year. And a lot of my friends, they basically said, oh, I'm sure you bought another one. They were being almost sarcastic and saying, and my parents said, I'm really worried about you. Like they never really discouraged me, but they said, oh, I don't know. And then meanwhile, in my realtor or real estate group, they were applauding my success and honest, giving me a hard time, said, okay, when's the next one? And I said, come on, I just bought three properties this year. And they said, no, you got to buy another one. And so it's just a different mindset, a different level of motivation. And once you embrace that group, it can change your life.
Absolutely. You go from one group that wants to have an intervention with you because they think you have a problem to the next group that's like encouraging the quote unquote problem, because that problem is going to build you wealth. So yeah, it's absolutely awesome. It's good to have you surround yourself with those people, with like-minded people. They say that you're the average of the top five people that you hang out with. So you want to have people in that circle that are better than you and some people that are your peers. And one of the things that I've talked about in the past is like when I go to these real estate meetups and stuff, and I think I talked to you about this before we even started, I'm not targeting the person that's been doing this for 20 plus years. When I'm first starting out and saying, hey, what did you do when you started? Well, 20 years ago, it was a long time ago for them, and they're on a whole different level. But the guys that just started 1, 2, 3 years ago, that's who you want to talk to if you're first starting out, because you can get a better idea of what they did, what systems they put in place, what worked for them, what didn't work. And it's that whole trial by fire and trial by error, because over the years, it changes. The types of loans you can get change, the types, all the different funding, everything changes. So you have to be fluid and flexible with that as well. And that's one of the things you're going to get by going to these meetups, is staying up to date, staying current with what's going on. And then building that network is just super amazing. All right, Michael, I have to ask you one more question. This is besides the four questions. This is probably the most important question of all, because the people that are listening to the show are like, man, Michael is spitting out this awesome information. He talked about this book that he wrote that really sounds like it could help me out because I'm just getting ready to get started. And I want to know more about Michael Dominguez and what he's doing. So, Michael, if you could share with us where people could find more information about you, if you could share your website or any social media that you're comfortable sharing with us, that would be fantastic.
Yeah. Again, my name again is Michael Dominguez, for those that have been paying attention. And the book I have is Armchair Real Estate Millionaire. And for those that are doing the video thing, this is what the book looks like here. And my website is armchairrealestatemillionaire.com. I am on Facebook and Twitter. And you can pick up my book on Amazon or Indigo. And those are opportunities. And actually, I don't know when this is being released, but in March, if all goes according to plan, I'm actually doing an audiobook as well. I've hired an incredible voice actor. And again, I tried doing it myself. I realized I'm just not good at it. And I tend to do a lot of ums and ahs and couldn't read the entire paragraph without missing a word. And so I hired somebody who is fantastic. And so I'm using my armchair mindset playbook and hiring somebody who's better. He's delivering it. And I think people will be really impressed with the content and the quality of the books. So yeah, I look forward to some people picking it up. And if there are any questions, by all means, reach out to me. You can go on my website, send me a note and say, hey, and go from there.
Yeah, that's great. So we'll make sure we have all those links in the show notes to make it easy for everybody to find your website, social media, find your book. We'll make sure that's all there fresh for everybody. Super excited about that. I'm super excited that you have an audiobook coming out, because audiobooks, I think, are amazing. That's all I listen to in my car now is podcasts and audiobooks. I barely ever listen to music. I think the only time I have music on in the car is if I have my kids in the car with me, because they can't stand listening to podcasts or audiobooks.
They're like, Daddy, it's so boring being in the car with you.
It's true. You know, you can only listen you could listen to Queen and other music, but Freddie Mercury and all those guys don't care about your wealth. Whereas honestly, the idea that you can actually pay $20 and get the contents of some brilliant minds, the Robert Kiyosaki's and Dave Ramsey's and
the Michael Dominguez's.
And honestly, you get the best of what they have and be able to put that together. It's just, it's such an incredible way to get some knowledge. And especially if the content is presented in an entertaining way, that has changed my life as much as anything.
Yeah, no, I love it. I love it. Michael, this has been an absolute pleasure. I really appreciate you taking time on a Saturday to sit here and have this conversation with me all the way from Canada. And I'm out here in Hawaii. Technology is amazing. That's and awesome. This has just been super fun. I really genuinely enjoyed this conversation with you. That's why we talked so much before we even hit the record button. I'm sure we're going to talk a little more after we go off air, but this has been absolutely phenomenal. The content I think that's going to come out in this episode will really help people. And I really hope that people go check out your book, because it is really something that's going to be beneficial to looking to just get started in investing in real estate and can hopefully change some lives. So thanks again, Michael, for taking this time and chat with us today.
You know, and thank you so much for inviting me. And I really appreciate the content design that you've got for your style. Having people on that Art, I'm sure you've got a few people. I have listened to all of your podcasts that have, it's not necessarily the guys that have got the 100 properties and the 6 Ferraris and the mansions, but it's the ones that I find are more relatable are the ones that are maybe a couple of steps beyond where the person who's listening to the podcast is, because it's something that's achievable. And I can share with you, for anybody who's listening today, that people that think that real estate has gone, you know, saying, oh, the values have gone up so much where we're in a position where it's too late. Well, I can tell you that real estate was a good investment in the 1800s. It's a good investment 50 years ago, good investment 25 years ago, and it's a great investment today. If you buy smart and you follow the right market fundamentals, you can build significant wealth with the unfair advantage that real estate offers.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, and it's a popular saying too, that they say the best time to buy real estate was 20 years ago. The second best time is today. And just even with the market, the way that it's going, you can't beat real estate as an asset class. People are always going to need a place to live. And I love it. I love it. I think it's fantastic. And I think people like you that come on the show and really spit out some great information regarding real estate and just the things that you've done in just a 10-year period to just prove to everybody that this really does work and it really can change your life. And it really means a lot that, you know, that we can get this information out there to help some people. Thanks again, man. This has been fantastic.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for making it to the end of this episode. Greatly appreciate you being here with me today on the Average Joe Finances podcast. If you haven't done so yet, make this the episode that you go leave us a 5-star rating or subscribe to our YouTube channel. The Average Joe Finances podcast is for informational and entertainment purposes only. Have an outstanding day.
Thanks for listening to the Average Joe Finances podcast, your source for beating debt, saving money, and investing. Learn more at averagejoefinances.com.